Pop Spotting, Class of 92.
Friday, July 15th, 2011. Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Feedback Friday.
So let's go first to the Pop Spotting voicemail.
Hey, Ryan and Jen, this is Jeff Gentry, X-Force 11, calling in for another Pop Spotting music recommendation. The group is the Wailing Jennies. Their name's kind of a takeoff on the country artist Wailing Jennings. They are a trio of ladies who play their own instruments and sing. They've got beautiful voices. They do a neat mix of styles of music. It's kind of a bluegrass, newgrass sound. But it's a really, really neat sound. They've got two albums out right now primarily. The first one, the newest, is Bright Morning Stars. And then they've got a live CD, which is really good. It kind of captures the feel of what's going on with them. And I found them thanks to Pandora. And I thought you might need another recommendation on music to try out. So let me know what you think. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Mahalo for your call, Jeff. And it's certainly been a couple of very musical weeks here on Pop Spotting. Now, his last recommendation was for Mumford & Sons, and that one's been stuck in our player.
Yeah, we love it. Every time we go out to drive, we play it, and I find something new about it that I love every time I hear it.
And now we have the Wailing Jennies, and we've sampled them. I've bought a couple of tracks already on iTunes. What do you think?
They're unique. I haven't heard anything like that in a long time. I think they remind me of really early Dixie Chicks.
Right. They're sort of that. They're sort of the Southern sound. I even kind of pick up kind of a European sound. And that's what I think is interesting. You know, he said newgrass or bluegrass, and they're from Canada and New York and the Northeast. So I think it's kind of interesting that they can even achieve these sounds. Now, it turns out I'd actually heard them because they had been featured a couple of times on A Prairie Home Companion. And so that's always interesting to find out. The lineup's actually changed a few times since they started. Each member, in fact, has a fairly solid solo career, but each time the sound remains solid. Let's hear a little bit from them.
This is the sound of voices too. The sound of me singing with you. Helping each other to make it through.
That was One Voice by the Wailing Jennies, probably their best-selling track right now off of their album 40 Days. And again, I think we like them quite a bit.
I like them a lot.
If you want to catch up with them or learn a little bit more about them, they're actually touring around New England. They're in New Hampshire next week, Vermont then, Maine, and Rhode Island through the rest of July. Check them out. Thanks, Jeff, for that recommendation. And since we're on a roll, let's move on to another suggestion from a good friend of ours named Greg. We've known him for years. He's in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, hey, Greg.
Now, he posted on our Facebook page a link to a pretty neat video. It's from the Onion AV Club, which is the Onion website, and they're doing a series called AV Undercover. They pick 25 songs, and 25 artists get to do those covers, but they have to pick from the ones that are left. And this particular cover was performed by a band called The Swell Season, and we love them, or actually we love this duo, at least, in the movie Once.
They're headed up by Glenn Hansard and Marketa Irglova. They did the soundtrack to the movie Once, which is one of my favorite albums.
Absolutely, and that's kind of what turned us on to their music in general. Really good stuff, and here they decided to cover a song by Neutral Milk Hotel. Now, depending on your perspective, Neutral Milk Hotel is either one of the best bands out there today, or perhaps one of the most overrated bands out there today. Now, Greg introduced us to it a while back. It was one of the CDs he sent me home with when I went to South by Southwest. So I gotta say, I kind of like them. Very acoustic, very raw, very very emo, I guess is one way to put it. But in this case, the folks from The Swell Season decided to cover their song Two-Headed Boy, and we've gotta have a listen.
Two-headed boy, put on Sunday shoe and dance round the
was the swell season covering Two-Headed Boy by Neutral Milk Hotel. And, you know, it's just that guy's voice in particular, when he really gets to shouting, it's not, you know, he doesn't quite hit the notes. It's a little really, really raw. And that's what I like about it. And it's definitely a change in pace from how the original sounds.
He has one of my favorite male voices, and I think they really change it a lot, but they stay true to the sound at same time.
I love the comments on the Onion page where some people were basically saying that Neutral Milk Hotel is so unique that they cannot be covered. That's always one of the most ridiculous things that I always hear.
I never
in the sense that, you know, songs are meant to be sung and not always by one person, and that was a fantastic entry. So thanks, Greg, and if you want to hear it and see the entire video, you can check it out at our Facebook page at facebook.com/popspotting, or just go over to avclub.com and look up for their AV Undercover series.
Going from music to books, Timothy Q writes on the blog, I also started reading Sarah Vowell after seeing The Incredibles and hearing her on NPR's This American Life. Mm. I started with Assassination Vacation and then read The Partly Cloudy Patriot, but I could not get through The Wordy Shipmates. I couldn't figure out why I was having such a hard time with this book, especially considering I loved her other books. It wasn't until I read some reviews that I began to understand. It just didn't flow very well, and it seemed so dense and rambling. I have her latest, but haven't read it yet, and I am thinking I might have to go back and try it again. I am reading Robopocalypse right now by Daniel H. Wilson. It is a very entertaining read about machines rising up to destroy humanity. Hey. One thing that makes it different than, say, Terminator is that the robots don't want to destroy all life. They just think they can do a better job running things than people. The story is also told in flashbacks. The movie rights have already been picked up by none other than Steven Spielberg.
Wow, that really sounds interesting. Robopocalypse, and certainly you want to kind of not always have it be a war with the machines, but maybe we're just going to be made obsolete by them. And he also notes that the flashback storytelling device would be certainly familiar to anybody who loved Lost. But, you know, what do you think? I mean, he couldn't get through The Wordy Shipmates, and the way he describes it, or his frustration, sounded like how I had a hard time getting through Unfamiliar Fishes.
Yeah, I understand that.
So perhaps maybe knowing a little bit more about Sarah's style, Timothy Q might give her another shot, and I think I'm going to give Unfamiliar Fishes another shot as well. Moving on to television, Delia V in Philadelphia sent us an email and said, I just wanted to give my wholehearted agreement to Ryan Drake's recommendation of Showtime's Shameless. It's one of the most original and compelling shows I've seen in a long time. I'd also just like to add that the show has some excellent children and young adult actors who really help carry the show along with the lead adults. It's really worth watching. Thanks for putting out such a great podcast.
Our pleasure.
So, yeah, Showtime and Shameless, another vote to check that out. It's on Showtime, so we're going to have to wait till that comes out on DVD.
On our Ancient Warriors with Sketchy Accents double feature, Laura R. writes on Facebook, I haven't yet seen Highlander, but I need to.
Yes, you do.
Gladiator is one of my favorite movies. Joaquin Phoenix's performance was a highlight for me as well. I started following his career, beginning with a Nicole Kidman movie, To Die For. An interesting topic for future discussion might be the ups and downs of this actor's career. Other movies he has been in that I have enjoyed include Quills, Hotel Rwanda, and Walk the Line. He seems to have gone off the deep end through the whole I'm still here business. I, for one, hope that he finds his footing and a way to come back from the peculiar and odd direction his career has taken.
Well, you know, the I'm not there thing is really curious, and I still think that it just was part of the entire performance, and he's going to basically resurface one day as if nothing happened.
I believe so, too.
I'm not entirely worried about him, but what do you think about Joaquin Phoenix? I mean, I don't really follow actors as closely as you do. Is he someone that has had a really interesting career?
He's talented, and I think his best movies are not necessarily the ones you hear about all the time. Like, I saw a movie with him called Two Lovers with Gwyneth Paltrow not too long ago, and that movie really stuck with me. There was something about that movie that really resonated in my imagination, and he was really good in it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more to him than some of the roles that he's really immediately identified with, and thanks to you and your taste in films, it's been great to kind of experience those. I kind of like the idea of using an actor as one of the themes for our show. We can do a filmography. I know that I've always wanted to kind of do a John Cusack retrospective.
And I'm down.
Yeah, we can do that as well. Also on Highlander, Nelson De La Rosa notes his favorite line from the film, of course, is Happy Halloween, ladies!
Oh, mine too.
From the great church scene. And Michaela L. writes, I loved Highlander, the TV show. It filmed here in Vancouver. One day I was downtown and they were filming. I was walking around and Adrian Paul walked right past me, and Now that is a hunk of a man. Then Jim Burns walked by, and I got to tell him how much I loved the show. Now that's a way back memory. So did you watch the Highlander TV series?
I don't know. I just have some dim awareness that there was a Highlander TV show. I don't remember anything about it, though.
And what about Adrian Paul? Hunk of a man?
No.
Very nice. You plead the fifth. On another movie, Cars 2 and Pixar, we actually heard from the guy on the topic, Greg Mariotti of Pixar Talk.
We're not worthy.
Exactly. He writes, "It's so great to have you back, and I'm really enjoying the show. I appreciated your fair but critical look at Cars 2. It's in the bottom of my Pixar films for sure, but still worth a look." So what do you think? I mean, for one thing, it's great to hear from you, Greg. We've been a big fan, and we've been in touch since the transmission days, yeah. Perhaps even earlier. But yeah, I don't think Cars 2 is going to be anyone's favorite film, but I still saw enough in there to have a good time.
My son sure did.
Absolutely. I think our middle son, Zach, basically wants to become Francesco Bernoulli, and he's really got to work on that Italian accent. But, you know, Greg, he runs Pixar Talk. It's a blog dedicated to all things Pixar, and I just checked in on it, and there's so much great stuff there. He notes that Cars 2 is probably not going to break the $200 million mark, which is kind of weak for a Pixar film, but it's actually doing much better internationally than the first Cars film did. So maybe they're onto something there, yeah. In terms of the global scope. And they also review the Cars 2 video game. And we had the Cars video game, the original one. And Pixar Talk says that the new one is a big step forward from that first game, which we've got in a drawer here somewhere. So it is available for the Mac. So maybe we'll check that out. But it'll also be for you if you've got a PC or a Wii or a PS3 or Xbox 360 or even a Nintendo DS. But I can't say enough about some of the great information you can get at Pixar Talk. If you are a Pixar fanatic, you probably already know about it. And what I was really intrigued to see is there's news there about a Pixar film that I knew nothing about. Have you heard about Brave?
I haven't heard much about it, but I have seen a couple of previews. I guess it comes out next summer. Mm-hmm. It's the first movie by Pixar with a female lead.
Right.
Princess Merida, who is voiced by Kelly MacDonald from No Country for Old Men. It looks a lot darker and more intense than a typical Pixar film. It's kind of, it looks to me like Braveheart meets Hayao Miyazaki.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes place in Scotland, and it's kind of the first Pixar period picture as well.
Right, so there's a lot of stuff going on with Pixar that I was completely unaware of. We talked a little bit about how they're kind of really harping on their franchises, the Toy Stories, the Cars, and this was really encouraging to see work on an original story, an original character, and I was surprised when I thought about it to see that this would be their first Pixar film with a female lead. I'm not sure why I hadn't noticed before. Maybe because the films are such good stories that we're not as sensitive to those things. But once again, if you want to know more about Brave, if you want to know more about Pixar, you cannot go wrong without following Greg Mariotti and his colleagues there at Pixar Talk. Check it out. And finally, for this feedback show and a movie that I had not heard about, we get a recommendation from ALM on the blog.
ALM writes, "Have you heard about Brown Coat's Redemption? It's a film for charity based on the verse. It's got about 50 days left until it goes into the Fox Vault. You can check out some trailers at browncoatsmovie.com.
Hey, so it's another Firefly fan project. I mean, we talked about Can't Stop the Serenity, which is still ongoing, these charity screenings using the film as a way to raise money for good causes. So here we have Brown Coats the movie. And yes, you have to get your copy of it. You have to donate and be a part of it before September 1st. So we're definitely going to have to check that out. I didn't know anything about it. You can go to browncoatsmovie.com. You can get it on Blu-ray or DVD. Apparently, this entire fundraising campaign was a finalist in the 2011 Mashable Awards for Most Creative Social Good Campaign. So once more, that's browncoatsmovie.com. It supports 5 charities, including Equality Now, Kids Need to Read, the Dyslexia Foundation, and yes, I can read dyslexia. And actually, they're even going to be at the San Diego Comic-Con with the California Browncoats, which
awesome.
Do the events, the Firefly stuff there as well. So thanks for the recommendation, ALM. Thanks for the heads up. Thanks for all the great recommendations and suggestions that you're sending in. I hope that all of our other listeners are benefiting from them as much as we are, and we cannot stress enough how important feedback is to telling us how we're doing, to keep us going, to keep us producing these shows every single day. If you are a listener, and I know you are, you're hearing me talk right now, you've got to write in.
don't hesitate to get in touch to suggest something crazy, to give us any kind of ideas for our show. And to make it as easy as possible, we give you several different ways to do so.
You can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net. You can leave us a voicemail. We love to hear your voices at 815-310-0808. Or you can send us an email, and Jen will write back, I promise, at feedback@popspotting.net.
You can also connect with us at facebook.com/popspotting or twitter.com/popspotting.
We'll be back soon with more pop talk, but remember, next week brings us Comic-Con, the nerd prom, the big pop culture event of the year, and Jen and I and our entire family are looking forward to it. We can't tell you what you're going to get in your feed next week, but we're going to give you some great stuff. Don't miss it.
Thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and mahalo to you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen.
Arrivederci.